Catholic faith first came to Vietnam in the 17th century from Portuguese missionaries. But as time increased, persecutions increased in Vietnam due to the emperors. And by the 19th century, there are estimates that 100,000 to 300,000 Vietnamese Catholics died for their faith. They were given the option to live if they stepped on a wooden cross. By doing that, they would be rejecting their faith. But today we celebrate the memory of Andrew Yum Lac and companions who represent these hundreds of thousands of martyrs who decided not to renounce their faith by stepping on the wooden cross, but instead taking up their own cross, they gave concrete witness to their faith by shedding their blood through decapitation or through beheading. And so as I reflect on this moment right here, right now, with me sharing my faith with you, would not exist if it were not for the faith of these Vietnamese martyrs. I stand here as a testimony to their faithfulness, which has been passed on from generation to generation. I stand here as a testimony to the words of the Lord, which say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit." And so the fruit of my vocation and even of my faith and those of my Vietnamese brothers and sisters exists because of the faithfulness of these martyrs. And so their witness today reminds us and challenges us to be faithful children of God in name and in truth, as our first prayer mentions, our opening prayer mentions, because our faithfulness or even our unfaithfulness will have an effect on many generations to come. If we listen to the gospel today, Jesus has some very harsh words for those people in his time who were not children of God in name and in truth. When Jesus says to the Pharisees and the people of his time that you have made the temple of God into a house, he has made the house of God into a den of robbers, he's referring back to the prophet Jeremiah 600 years ago to his ancestors. And these people believed that they were impervious to any attacks from the enemy because of the presence of God dwelt among them. And this was true if they remained faithful to God and did not drive him away through their own evil deeds. But what happened was these people took advantage of God's presence and they committed evil deeds in his sight. They committed murder, adultery, and they even brought false gods' rites into the sanctuary of the temple. And so God, speaking to the people of Judea through Jeremiah, says, "Will you come and stand before me in this house and say, 'We are delivered only to go on doing all these abominations'? Has this house become a den of robbers in your eyes?" And so the prophet Jeremiah was trying to encourage the people to be children of God in name and in truth. But they would not repent. And so they drove out the presence of God through their evil deeds, and the temple was destroyed in 587 BC. And so Jesus is now urging the people to repent. He wept for them, as we heard in the gospel yesterday, to change their lives. But they too would not repent. And as we know how the story goes, the second temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. And so Jesus is urging us today to not turn the temple of our bodies into a den of robbers. He's urging us so that the worship of our lips here in this church will be in consistency with the worship of our lives out there in the world. And so, although we do not commit murder, do we have that destructive anger which leads to murder? Or do we gossip and slander which kill our neighbor's good name? Although we do not commit adultery, do we commit adultery in the heart by consenting to lustful thoughts or deeds? And although we do not worship false gods or golden calves, do we have priorities in our lives in which we put above God? And so the Lord desires a transformation that encapsulates our whole being, which includes our external actions and the internal movements of our hearts. And this is difficult for sure, and we all struggle with this. But there's a difference between fighting off temptation from the sanctuary of our heart and making an alliance with our temptation and sin and inviting it right into the Holy of Holies where God dwells within our hearts. And so this is a work of grace, and that's why we're here at the Mass today, to ask for that grace to be transformed, because we cannot do it on our own. Because just as Judas Maccabeus in our first reading today overcame the 60,000 enemy forces with his own 10,000 forces by the grace of God, so too the Vietnamese martyrs were kept faithful to the cross of Jesus Christ by the Lord and became children of God in name and in truth. And just as the temple had been defiled and ruined, but was rededicated again to the Lord, so the Vietnamese martyrs await the resurrection of the body, where their bodies, which were tortured and decapitated, will be reunited with their souls to offer perfect worship to God. Who knew that the faithful witness of thousands of men and women halfway across the world 2,200 years ago would come back around to the world today, to this chilly city in Canada, where I stand and the many of my many brothers and sisters stand as the fruit of their labors. So it is certain that we will have a profound impact on those who will follow after us. But it's for us to decide whether our impact will be as the result of our faithfulness to God by the grace of God, in name and in truth, just like the Vietnamese martyrs, or an unfaithfulness to our identity in truth.